In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, here we are, Christmas Day at last. And I have lost count this year of the number of times that people have said to me or I have read in the media that Christmas is cancelled, that Boris has called off Christmas. It might say something about me, but that whenever I hear that, I think of that scene in Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, when the Sheriff of Nottingham, entirely enraged by Robin Hood outwitting him again, shouts, "And call off Christmas!" and storms out. And every time I think of that scene, and every time I see people saying that Boris has cancelled Christmas, I have shouted at the television or the newspaper, "Christmas isn't cancelled! You can't cancel Christmas. It just doesn't work like that. You can take the mountain of Brussels sprouts out of Christmas, but it is always about Jesus, with or without needing to cook a turkey for 20. I've said it time and time again to everyone who has expressed fear and doubt and disappointment as all of our plans have changed, all of our plans have shrunk. That the one certainty we have got this Christmas is that the Christ child will still arrive, just as he always has and just as he always will. Because Christmas is for every day, whenever and wherever we open our hearts and lives to the transforming love and presence of Jesus Christ. And so, if Christmas is for every day, then why do we rehearse the story year in and year out? You would think that we know it well enough by now, wouldn't you? This year, in this church, we have based our Advent reflections on the characters from the Nativity story. Mary, the angels, the shepherds, and Joseph. If you haven't watched them, they are still there on YouTube. And in our weekly Advent discussion group, we focused on scenes from the story, bringing them into relief, sharp focus with our daily lived experience of this pandemic year. The same old characters, the same old scenes, the same old, old story. But it bears telling again and again, last year, this year, and next year too. And we don't just tell it for nostalgia, or because a child's nativity play is cute. I mean, honestly, have you ever seen anything quite as adorable as a reception class nativity play? But we tell it because it is completely timeless. The story is timeless. The characters are timeless. Because the truth and the light and the promise contained within the story is for all people and for all time. And I find that looking at the story again and again and coming back to it year after year is a little bit like going on a long journey. A long and circular journey that takes us through the year and brings us back to the place where we started, but we are no longer the same. Events of any year, events of this year have changed us, and it is a different us that is brought back to the story once again each year. And when we look again at those familiar characters, perhaps it is something different we see. Perhaps we have new insight, new understanding. Maybe they've got something new to say just to us. And so for this sermon on this Christmas Day, in this pandemic year of 2020, I offer you, for what they're worth, my thoughts on the characters and how they have spoken anew to me in this season. And I have a prop. I'm sorry I can't bring it round like I normally would. I've got out of the habit of preaching with props, but here it is. It is a set of Russian dolls. And on the outside, the first one, there are the three kings, the wise men, the magi, who travelled from the east to visit the new king, following the promise of the star. this year, the Magi have taught me that what we expect to find is often not what we get. The Magi were expecting a king in a palace, but got instead a peasant child in a stable. This year held much promise for me, a house move in the offing, my ordination as priest, and so many other personal things and milestones. But having walked and travelled for what seemed like ages to get here, things are different. No one saw a pandemic coming, and I never expected my first months as a priest to involve telling people they couldn't come to church. Expectations have been challenged, new paths have been found, and I find myself having to walk an unfamiliar path, stepping out of my comfort zone on a daily basis. And I think that is true for most of us, if not all of us here, not just me. And then we have Joseph, a little bit smaller. Joseph is a man about whom we know so little. We don't really hear his voice in any of the gospel accounts, but we do know his thinking. Joseph tries to do the right thing, but finds it impossible to weigh up which the right thing is. By rights, he shouldn't have continued his marriage to Mary. She was carrying the child of someone else. But to cast her off would have exposed her to shame and gossip and possibly even death. He'd mitigate the risk. He'd do it quietly, so as not to make too much fuss. That's what Matthew's account tells us. But God had other ideas for Joseph, and an angel told him so. How many times this year have we been faced with seemingly impossible decisions? Obeying the rules is the right thing to do. We must isolate, we must stay away and distance, we must keep each other safe. But how much has that hurt us, and how much has that hurt those that we love? How much damage has been done to people's mental health, their sense of isolation, and our sense of guilt, as every fibre of our being cries out to reach out and touch and embrace? Joseph made the right decision to marry Mary, even though it was against all the wisdom and custom of the time. And we have made the right choices to distance and keep one another safe. But how hard has that been? How hard must that have been for Joseph? And what will be the consequences? For me, this year, Joseph is a man of moral wrestling. He might fit well into these times. And next we have Mary. Mary, the girl who said yes to God and made the whole story possible. But what an unlikely situation for her to find herself in. Talk about disruption of plans. And I wonder how unprepared she felt for the task ahead of her. How can this be? She asked the angel Gabriel, for I am a virgin. Well, frankly, as I've read that this year, I thought that's only the start of her difficulties. Becoming the mother of God is one thing, but raising him from child to man, well, that is a whole other challenge. All parents feel unprepared. But being a parent to Emmanuel himself, that's a whole new level. And likewise, how unprepared have most of us felt for this year? Like you, I have had to learn new skills, computer skills and digital skills that I never thought we'd need. New ways of doing things, new ways of relating things that have stretched us all to the limit. And as I have reflected once more on just how much Mary knew or suspected about the life of her son, I am astounded by her keeping to the task at all. She was unprepared, and there were certainly shocks along the way for her. I look again at her surprise and fear as she loses Jesus at 12 years old and finds him in the temple. I look again at her coming to fetch him home as an adult when he started to make a name for himself, and the pain that she might have felt when he asked those around him, "Who are my mother and brothers?" And yet, unprepared as she was and painful as it was, she walked the path to the bitter end. The last we see of her is at the foot of the cross, watching her son, her firstborn son, die a criminal's death. Nothing prepared her for that. And then, just in time, there are the angels. And the angels bring a timely message for all humanity, and it always starts the same. Do not be afraid. They proclaim, do not be afraid, year after year, and their message changes not. And just how much has the world needed to hear that message this year? I know I have. The promise that God is with us, that God has come to dwell among us, those tidings of great joy and gladness, I have found myself holding on to over and over again this year. And reminding people so often that in the darkest hour and in the midst of pain, God is with us. Do not be afraid. Hold on to that today and in the months ahead. We're getting very small now. This one is the donkey. The poor donkey. The character in the Nativity that doesn't even make the Bible's edited report. Was he even there at all? We just don't know. You can't see, but this one is winking. I wonder if the artist who painted them was in on the joke. But this year, the donkey reminds me of all the people that haven't been praised or thanked or even named. The countless people who have worked tirelessly throughout the pandemic. We've clapped the NHS and the carers, and they certainly have deserved every moment of it. But this donkey today, this beast of burden, reminds me of so many others that have carried such a heavy load. The teachers, those working in shops, our delivery drivers, the cleaners, the bin men, and so many others I can't even begin to name. And not just those whose jobs have called them in this way, but so many others who couldn't leave home and had their own burdens to carry. And also all those who, in the face of having nothing else to offer, have carried the burden of us all in prayer. I know there are so many of you who have been doing that each and every day, many of whom who haven't been able to set foot in this building or even out of their homes for 9 months now. So however you might have carried burdens this year, this donkey is for you. Which brings us at last to the smallest of all. So tiny that it will fit in the palm of my hand. The baby Jesus, who was carried inside his mother to Bethlehem to be brought to birth, who was wrapped helpless in bands of cloth and laid in a manger. This year, I find my own helplessness reflected back in his helplessness. And yet, as the promise of every new birth brings, in his face there is hope. Hope for a different future. Hope always for a world of love. Hope for growth, hope for joy. And as we watch this baby's story unfold over the next few months and revisit those stories once again as new people in a new place, we might again see things differently. But here he is, this day, born just as God promised, just as he is every year. And just as tiny, he asks to be invited into our hearts. He doesn't take up much space. A feeding trough for animals was good enough, so any room that we can offer him now will be good enough too. And he will grow with us and in us long after Christmas Day has passed. Glad tidings of great joy indeed. Amen.